Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today, got a few things we need to clean up from yesterday with the third down approach. They do a couple things. It's a little bit different than what we've seen on third down. Just have to be able to recognize it defensively and make sure that we have the right check for what they're doing. And there's a little bit of communication with that yesterday that I think we'll have that taken care of here this morning. And then offensively, I thought that overall the execution was better than Wednesday. I think there'll be a few things that we'll revisit in the running game here today and a couple things on third down as well, like the approach throughout the course of the week and look to finish the week strong. So with that, open up to questions.
When you go into a game like last week, do you know beforehand how you're going to split the running back carries, you know, between Chris and Jerome, or is it happened during the game?
Well, there's a plan going into the game. And then we evaluated during the game, see who's being more effective, which types of runs are being more effective. And if it leans more towards JC, then he'll get some more carries. If it leans more towards Chris, then he'll get some more carries. Or in last week's case, you know, Josh got some more carries.
So like going into Sunday, you, in your head going in, you'd say that, you know, X is going to get the bulk of the carries, even though that might change.
It's more these are the packages that we like, and you put those out there, you run through the plays that you like, see how it's going, and if it's hitting like you expect it to hit, then you'll stay with it. If not, you may transition to something a little further down the list.
How is Robert? He missed Wednesday and yesterday.
Yeah, I think he's improved. Really have to see today, and I probably come down to a game time decision with him.
Josh is in the backfield, just with a, you know, just some quick, easy plays that he can learn as a regular running back. How many times could he carry the ball as a regular running back and continue to do all the things on special teams that you want him to do? I mean, what would have you determined that number?
I don't know. I don't know if there is a set number. I mean, most people play, if they play a full game, somewhere around 65 plays on average. Now, that can vary depending on how demanding the position is or what the position, really the focus of the position. So I'd say depends how many special teams plays there are, because that number can vary each game. How many returns does he have? How many kickoff returns? How many punt returns? And those things affected. How many snaps you want to use him as a receiver? That would affect it. He's on the coverage teams as well. So it's hard to say, but a full game would be about 65. He's just in a spot that's very demanding. He's going to take a lot of hits between the kickoff returns and the punt returns. He's going to be involved in a lot of physical plays on the coverage plays. So it's just, you got to take that into account.
In a general sense, where do you feel a guy like him could be more effective? Running the ball, you know, 12 times a game out of the backfield, whatever, maybe catching a few passes, or maybe having, you know, 3 kickoff returns, 2 punt returns, you know, in an open field where he can use his ability to get off. I mean, where, in a general rule.
I think if you're carrying the ball 12 times a game and catching a few passes, you could still return like he has been. I thought that he was very effective last week, and he really did what you said. He returned the ball, caught a pass, made a tackle, ran the ball, and that's pretty effective game. And the other nice thing about Josh is anytime he's in there, if he's in a different spot than, say, the Wildcat position, there's always a threat. There's a threat of him on the reverse. There's a threat of him on the catch and run. So that dictates some of the coverage as well. So even if he's not getting the ball, having him there and having him there in a capacity where he can actually run a standard play is important. You want to be able to put your normal offense out there and run those plays so that every time he's in, they can't check the defense. And if they do start checking in, then the plays that you have designed based on your normal offense should be very effective against it because you know what they're going to be in.
I'll ask one more, then I'll let you
know. Conversation goes somewhere else. Because you've run him so much out of the Wildcat, if you would just put him in the backfield as a running back, as a, you know, Chris Jennings, as a Jerome Harrison in that place, because you've done so much of the other, just making it real simple, would that cause you as a defensive coordinator to think, okay, now what? Because it now you've simplified it and you've opened up a whole new set of possibilities. It's not the Wildcat anymore. He's just a regular running back. He's back there as a tailback.
I think as a defensive coordinator, that wouldn't be a bad thing. To have him in a standard offensive set as a running back, you can now run your standard defenses because those plays are going to be traditional type plays. And we face a lot of good running backs throughout the season, and you have different things to deal with those guys. One of the nice things about Josh is when he is in the Wildcat, you gain an extra blocker because someone has to cover the quarterback. The quarterback becomes a runner, and you gain extra players, whether it's the fullback and the guy that would be in the tailback position. That's where the numbers part of it comes in.
Settle your secondary, Eric, because I know you've had Mike Adams starting here in corner safety.
No, I think it's going to be, it'll stay game to game throughout the rest of the season.
What's game to game?
The configuration of the secondary will be game to game.
Oh, okay.
So, and one of the nice things is Mike has shown the ability to go out and play there and be effective, go back at safety, play there and be effective, at different combinations at safety, work some different guys in at the slot or the guy who covers the inside receiver in sub. And ideally, that's what you have throughout the course of the season is the flexibility to say, okay, this is where the biggest problem is.
So it's matchup, not...
It's not so much the talent. I mean, you're not looking for a starting corner. You're just trying to match up to what they have?
Yeah, and what you'd like to do, Jeff, is through the course of the season, always have the ability to dictate the coverage, push the coverage wherever you want to push it to, and then be able to take people and say, he's the best to cover him, he's the best to cover him. And that's defensively, you always want to, really offensively too, if Cam's best on a certain guy, then you would move Cameron over there to that spot. So it could be the right, it could be the left, it could be a walk-around type person. But in order to do that, Cameron has to have the ability to move to those three spots. That's why I never liked during training camp saying, okay, you're the right corner. And then they get all their reps as the right corner. You get a game or two into the season, you want to cover a certain receiver. Now he's got a player on the left. He's got no reps. So our approach has always been, all right, today you're on the right. And from a safety, it's not strong and free. It's right and left. So you have to know both spots. And that helps because you don't know how you're going to move them around. Same thing with the D-line. You saw Robert, when Kenyon got hurt, go over to the left-hand side. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but the types of blocks that you get on the left are different. The volumes of runs you get on the left are different. And he's worked there throughout the course of the year, so you could do that. Corey playing some at the nose. He has to have those reps. Otherwise, you get 10, 12 games in the season, say, okay, go play nose. It's like okay, you get 10 that week. It's hard.
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Todd Haley, and can you identify with you guys identify with each other with your situations right now?
Yeah, Todd, we've known each other starting in 97 when we worked in New York. And then he was the offensive assistant. I was the defensive assistant. It was the flip of the relationship that I had with Schwartzy, where I was the offensive assistant. He was the defensive assistant. So you end up spending a lot of time with him, and you have to handle 8,000 different things. So are the schedules right? Are they posted? Does everybody have a copy of it? Do we have to change the films? Are the cut-ups done? There's so many things operationally that you're always dealing with each other to make sure that practice flows fluidly and sort of like a team within a team. He's a funny guy. He really has a good sense of humor. He's bright. He's tough and demanding. And he was making a transition into football at that point. There's no intimidation. It wasn't too big for him. His dad is an outstanding evaluator. He has been for a long time. He had that experience growing up around football and with Dick Haley. So it was nice, even when we were evaluating talent as young guys, to be able to draw on some of his background from his dad and things like that. And it is a similar situation. He's looking to make progress each week. He's understands this is his first time around, but he understands his problems may be a little different than the problems that I'm facing, maybe a little different than what Schwartz is facing or any of the first-year head coaches. But we've talked a few times during the season about different issues or questions. He's got a big family. He's a good dude.
Kenyon's held up this week to be able to go?
Yeah, I think he should be fine. And Kenyon really hasn't missed too many games over his career, so it's a little bit of new ground for him. I think he'll be ready to go and he'll be effective.
One more thing about Haley, was there something back in 97 that drove you nuts about him, or quirk of his that I'm sure he'd probably say the same about?
What did he say on the conference call? did he draw first blood? No, I loved everything about him. It's like any other relationship. I spent more time with him than probably anybody else. So I'm sure there are things that he couldn't wait to have a break from at the end of the season. And the same with me. But it's you just learn to appreciate each other, and you share an experience like that. It's a bond you have for a long time.
Even though some of you guys, you and Schwartzy and Todd Haley, you guys are all going through the growing pains of the teams that you're coaching right now. You seem to be the only one that people talk about as sort of being on the hot seat, and are you going to survive this season? Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Why is that, guys? Why are you talking about it? I don't know. I mean, I read somewhere the other day, Rome wasn't built in a day. I thought that was a great quote. And very, what's that?
You just came across, well, you've been spending a lot of time in that.
No, it's just someone threw it on my desk, and I thought, wow, how appropriate, how rational and insightful. And that's the way it is. You can't fix all the different things that need to be fixed right away, but you're encouraged by the things that you do make improvement with, and it's not always easy. I mean, it's kind of want to put in the microwave, have it hot, and have it ready. It's not like that.
Along the lines of having the mindset of being back next year and preparing for next year, obviously you're trying to get through these last 3 weeks, but have you started putting together an off-season wish list of needs or, players that you want to look at to get you to the next level next year?
I don't like to do that until the end of the season, because you want to be able to take a little bit of time and move away from things and then come back and evaluate it, because at the end of the season, depending on how you finish, you could be harsher than you should be, or you could be not as objective as you should be. And I've experienced both those and learned from both those things and realized, okay, you need to take some time to step away and go back and look at it objectively, look at it critically, and really assess where you are. Because you don't want to make emotional decisions or quick decisions. I really have been part of both those situations, and it's not it's not the right way. It's not really fair to the getting the right answer.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Obviously, the front office thing's going to play out how it plays out. But have you yourself kind of prepared your own maybe little presentation for whoever comes in and you might meet with to say, hey, you know, this is where I think that we're at. This is where I'd like to see us go. This is what I think we need. Have you kind of come up with your own little, I guess, selling kit as far as the program and your needs?
No, not at all. I mean, I won't spend any time putting together a selling kit. I think you could sit down with anybody at any point and go through step by step decisions that were made, things that were done, both with a short-term vision, a long-term vision, any aspect of the organization, draft, free agency, player acquisition, salary cap, medical, PR, operations, department by department. I feel pretty good about just doing it without bullet pointing it.
Eric, you talked about, you know, the problem that can be incurred by right after the season, you know, making, especially a season like this, making judgments on players and different things because it's been a negative season and you just want to take all of it and throw it out because of the record. With that same theme, do you hope whomever comes in here as the football czar, whatever you want to call him, when he evaluates you, that he gives you the same courtesy, you know, stepping back, looking at the whole body of work, not making a rash judgment, just looking at the record and saying, oh, it must not be working, they were 2-11 or whatever?
I really do believe that anybody with a wealth of experience, especially if they've had coaching experience, understands the different components that go into it. And there's been a lot of really talented coaches that haven't had good seasons. And that sometimes happens. And you have to look at it in a lot of different ways. And, you know, going through that in different places as an assistant, whether it be DBs or coordinator, whatever it is, you get different perspectives on it. But I know as a head coach, when I first got the job, there were times where I was sitting in that seat going, God, I understand exactly why Bill and Bill did this. That never made sense to me. But now I get it. I call those guys up sometimes and be like, I get it. I'm sorry. You know, I complained about this. I completely understand why you did what you did. And sometimes when you look at the world through your lens, you know, that's the only evaluation that you make. But when the lens softens and you look at the other situations involved, it's different, you know. And, yeah, it's kind of like becoming a parent. I say some things that my dad says or my mom used to say. It's like, oh, my God, I can't, you know, I can't believe I said that. But it just changes because you learn and you experience things. And it's a good part of the process. But definitely, yeah, they always chuckle when you call them, too. Like Bill Parcells, he'd go, it's not all it's cracked up to be, huh, Eric? Yeah, Bill.
Not Holmgren, but a guy like Holmgren, who's had head coaching experience, would be a guy that would be able to do that if he came in and had his position because he's stood in your position. He sat in that seat.
Yeah, I think.
You mentioned Haley, who'd been like a, you know, Haley's dad, who'd been like a career personnel guy, had never really been a coach, but had been a career personnel guy. I suppose it's somebody like that, maybe.
Yeah, I really think it depends on the person and the experiences that they've had. You know, if you've been through if you built different teams, if you've been part of different teams, if you've experienced a lot of things as well. So I imagine they'd look at things as a big picture type philosophy.
Guys. Especially some of the ones that seem to have some type of a relationship with Holmgren, say a John Clayton, for instance, they all seem to be saying, oh, if Holmgren comes in here, he's going to wipe out Eric. my question is, do you have any theory on where they would be getting that? And did you feel like you kind of clicked with Mike when he was here?
You know, I don't really look at that, you know, what the speculation is. And, you know, there's stories that come out that oftentimes have no merit, facts, backing at all. Some do, but, you know, that's not kind of doing the scorecard of different opinions. And with Mike, you know, he and I have talked at different points, whether it's at the owners' meetings or prior to us playing him last year. He's a good guy. And the conversation wasn't any different than those other times. You know, he's guy I wouldn't characterize it as different.
Do you want Mike to take the job?
You know, I don't want to get into, you know, that component of it. What I will say is I want someone to come here that can help us improve, that can be part of giving the city of Cleveland what they deserve, which is a consistent winner year in and year out, and a team they can be proud of on the field and off the field. That's what I believe in. I mean, you know, I'm not being in Cleveland as a younger coach and being here now, the passion hasn't changed, and what they deserve hasn't changed. And they want a team that works and cares and is passionate and fights and is smart. I mean, it's so obvious and it's so deserved. And my job is to give that to them, and not just 1 year, but every year. That's what they deserve.
That your fate is tied into these last three games, or do you think, you know, what has happened already will determine what happens?
I know this. I'm not really looking at it that way, Jeff. I mean, I've been a head coach for 4 years now, and you know, different places, different experiences, different players. I feel good about the things that I've done in that role, and there's a body of work there. And each situation is different. Anybody that comes in can evaluate that, and I feel really, really good about the things that I've done this role. Has it always produced the results that you wanted? No, because the goal is to win every game. But there's, you know, you make decisions as you go, and you continue to improve and progress.
It looks like some people are going to be healthy. You were talking about Kenyon and maybe Robert Smith and everything. And I was wondering if there was a feeling of urgency for you to get Corey Williams a lot of reps based on his performance against Pittsburgh and based on him, you know, playing pretty well of late.
With the D-line, it's a lot of the same approach. Last game, we had a different package with all linebackers and defensive backs, and that wasn't a function of a lack of faith in the defensive line. It's just what we thought would be effective, and we'll take the same approach this week. So there will be, whether it's the nickel, the dime, or the base, or the other variations we have, there's all those packages somewhere. He may be the first guy, somewhere he may be the second guy. And last week, the amount of sub-personnel that they played with really dictated what we played with, and the numbers got changed a little bit. So it'll also be based on what we're getting and what's being effective for us.
You guys are coming off that victory over Pittsburgh, the biggest victory you've had and maybe the biggest victory this organization had, considering it hadn't beaten them since, you know, God knows when, 2003 or whatever. Coming off of that, you know, almost on the heels of that, you're glowing in that, and all this news about Holmgren pops up, and it takes the shine off all that. We spend all week talking to you, not about Pittsburgh, but about this. Are you disappointed at all that the timing of the Holmgren thing, in that it you know, the one little nugget you guys have had to kind of, you know, bask and glow in, it, and it's kind of been, the spotlight's been turned elsewhere this week?
No, you know, you face different things that could potentially be distractions, and we faced a bunch throughout the course of the year. And it doesn't change the guys in the room. It doesn't change the coaching staff. And it's hard to, talk about the importance of focus and concentration and working the task at hand and then allow yourself to be distracted by something like that. It's not fair to the coaches. It's not fair to the players. It's not fair for anybody in that group to do it because there's been so many positive things, and that'll continue to happen as long as we take the lessons that we've learned and apply them to the next week. Because once you take a step back, you could move backwards.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.